Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Well, wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Today, I'm with the Catholic Guy Impact Community, and I'm talking to them. We meet all of the time. Now, this is a group of people, wherever you are around the world, this is a group of people that love God and themselves come along every week in order that they would grow more deeply with God. And today we're going to look in the scriptures, and if you're ever in our part of the world, why don't you drop in, because you'll meet a group of people who are doing more than what normal people do in order to grow their faith in God. Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Or have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of five children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number, and I'll send you Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you.
We want you to have Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, for free. Call us on the number on your screen or write to us at P.O. Box 97367, Washington, D.C. 20090-7367, and we'll send you a copy of Personal Prayer. Want to see the full episode online? Go to brucedownsthecatholicguy.com.
Well, I want to talk to us about how we abide in God. I want to talk about how we abide in God today. How do you abide? What even does that mean? Well, last week, Rosemary and I were in New York. And when we were in New York, I had a meeting, an international video meeting. And what I had to do was I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning to have this meeting with all these people. That was when it happened to land. And so I got up at 3:30 in the morning. Rosemary was in bed in the hotel, and I thought, well, I can't have the conversation here, because she tells me when I have these conversations in the middle of the night, she wakes up. I don't know why, but she does. And so I decided I'd go down into the foyer of the hotel, this big hotel, and I would set up my computer there. And I went down at 3:30, and there was no one in the downstairs except the security people and a couple of people at the desk. And I'm sitting there. And I have the meeting for about an hour and a half, this video meeting, and we go back and forth, and technology's amazing. And well, by 5 o'clock, I wasn't tired at all, and I didn't want to go to bed. And so I just sat there doing some more work. And then about 6 o'clock, what I noticed was slowly out of the lifts, the escalators, people started coming out, and they were all wearing sports clothes. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I remember looking at them going, New York, people must be really fit in New York. I mean, because it's just not one or two, it's heaps. So I went up to the hotel, up to our room. I said to Rosemary, you should see downstairs. There's all these people wearing fit. New York must be, it must be a really fit place. And I should get fit. Well, I went back downstairs, kept working, and more people coming out. And I thought, I should get up early more often. Look how many people there are. And then eventually Rosemary came down about half an hour later. I said, Rosemary, look at all these people. They're all going out and coming back in. And she smiled, and then she looked at me and she said, Bruce, the New York Marathon's on today and there's 50,000 runners. And people have flown in from around the world. And I immediately realised that New York was as slack as me when it came to fitness. And I was wrong. And I was wrong as to what the conclusion I had. You know, there's lots of us, isn't it true, that we think that turning up to church is enough. That turning up to church is, in a sense, and trying to live and trying to be good is enough in terms of our walk with God. And that if we do that, that somehow that God will look after us, that God will even answer our prayers. And I want to talk about how does God answer our prayers? How do we get our prayers answered? And probably the reason I've been leaning into this is because right now in my life, I face some really significant issues. We as a ministry face some really significant issues. You know, what we're trying to do is crazy big. And we're not the biggest ministry in the world. And we're kind of batting, if you understand this, way above our level. You know, when you see a guy that's a really kind of plain-looking guy and he's married to a really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful girl, you think to yourself, you're really batting above you. You know, it's like that. We're trying to do what we shouldn't be trying to do. And our challenges are really great. And so sometimes I've fallen into the trap of thinking, but God, I'm good. Look at all I do. I come extra. I do extra stuff. I make sure I pray every day. I'm not murdering anybody. I'm not doing anything seriously bad. I'm not stealing from anybody. You know? And all of you are like that too. We're not. And yet still my prayers don't get answered. Still my prayers don't get answered. Why don't my prayers get answered? For some of the things I want. And I want to have a look at that. How do we get our prayers answered? Have a look at this scripture from John chapter 15, verse 1. If you've got one of our Bibles here, page 822. John chapter 15, verse 1. And it says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Again, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So it says, if I abide in you and you abide in me, ask whatever you want and you'll get it. So the question comes to me is, if that is true, what does it mean to abide? Is there any of us here, is anybody watching, who has something right now in your life that you need? Maybe you're overweight and you struggle to lose weight. Maybe you're someone who suffers from depression. Maybe you're in a marriage that's difficult. Maybe you're struggling with health issues. Maybe you're struggling with where am I going in life issues. Maybe you can't find God issues. And yet you cry out to God and then you wonder why you don't get what you get, what you ask for. And now we as a church community, if we're to be a ministry that's called to proclaim the gospel through our lives, through our effort, through our organization around the world, then there are going to be times we're going to be batting way above our ability. We're going to be batting way above our resources. We're going to be batting way above our talent and our gifts. If that's what God is calling us to, how are we going to, we're going to need God. We're going to need God to be able to do the things that we need to do. And if we believe that God wants us to build places, communities, that people love to attend, where people come and experience God, and we want to build multiple communities, and we want to do multiple conferences, and we want to do multiple events around the world that touch people, both here and far away, and we want a community that we belong to, that makes sense and invigorates us, just us, every day, we're going to need God. Because our vision's too big. Our vision's too big. There, you know, if it's just about us, that's one thing, and we always should be just about us. If you remember the very first talk I gave in this series, I spoke about the fact that we have an obligation to be about proclaiming God to us, to looking after ourselves, to being in God ourselves, and then because of the nature of who we are as Christians and as a ministry, is to proclaim God to others, and so if we're going to do what we want to do, if we're going to be the people that God's called us to be in our own personal life, even forgetting about anything else, we're often going to need God. We're going to need God right now. See, for the branch to bear fruit in this passage, it has to stay connected to the vine for the branch to bear fruit. The fruitless branch, the branch that bears no fruit, is cut off and is thrown away. And the branch that bears fruit is pruned so that it would bear more. Now, here's the thing, and I didn't see this for a long time. There's two branches. There's a fruitless branch, and then there's a branch that bears fruit. There's two kinds of branches, and they're both connected to the vine. I wonder if the fruitless branch is the person who turns up to church every week with no thought but just goes out of obligation but not a desire to grow deeper. I wonder if that's the fruitless branch. And I know some of us are saying, wouldn't you think the fruitless branch would be the person who doesn't go? But that's probably putting a different understanding of it. Maybe the fruitless branch is the person who goes, the lights are on, no one's home, no one's trying. But they turn up anyway. The key to bearing fruit is this word that I don't use all that often called abiding that we read in the scripture. It's abiding. That is being part of the vine. And the critical element is that apart from the vine, you can bear no fruit. And in all of our lives, we're called to bear fruit of some sort. We're mums, we're dads, we're friends, in our jobs, in the kind of lives we live, in the times the way we contribute to society. Now, obviously, if you read this, Jesus is the vine. And so the branch that bears fruit is connected to Jesus. But somehow the branch that bears fruit that doesn't bear any fruit can be connected as well. But that gets cut off and that gets thrown away. To abide means, what does abide mean? It's a little deep. To abide means to surrender our total selves into God. It's to surrender our total selves into God by the full conscious submission of our mind and our actions. It's to surrender into God. It is to say to God, God, here am I. I give you the totality of my heart, my life, in my thoughts and in my actions. I want you in me. I want you in me. It's not just saying to God, God, here's my life. God, I commit myself to you. It's not just saying, I believe. It's saying, God, I want to be completely and utterly connected to you. It's the conscious submission. What does submission mean? To put under, to give away authority, to give away the right to choice. But even further than that, total submission of ourselves, abide means to be consumed in our mind and body by our desire for God. It means to be consumed by a desire for God and his will. And I really could have changed this message and called it desire. Because for many of us, it's desire that's the key. It's that longing. It's that scripture that talks about the deer that pants for water. This longing, this desire, please come to me. There's only been a couple of times in my life when I really, really desired something. I mean, like really, there's a lot of people, things I've wanted. There's a lot of things I've wanted in life and they haven't necessarily that would have been a great want. And one of them was, if I went right back to when I was I was 29 years old, a couple of years ago, and I was 29 years old. And there was a particular job. There was a particular job working in the church. I'd never worked in the church before, but I wanted this job. And it just kind of jumped out at me, and it was something that I kind of felt like more than it was a job, it was kind of a calling. But the opportunity to get it was kind of obscure because everything was banked against me being able to get there. They had never employed someone before like me. The job would have to be created. There was no money, it didn't exist. But you know what I did? I so desired this job. What I did was every day without fail, I went to church of a morning without fail. I did, and I would just plead with God. I remember it was this pleading to the point of it got to that point of begging God. And I remember after church with all the old ladies, I would stay because everybody was, there were all these old ladies. I would stay with them for ages afterwards as many of them sat there and prayed. I would stay with these old ladies and I would just pray over and over. And it was on my mind all of the time. And I couldn't get it out of my mind at any time, this desire for this job and God, please. See, desire is this absolute longing for. It is a letting go deep within us that occurs even at the subconscious of us, that I want God. It's a letting go. It happens deeper in than the, and you can say, well, how can I affect the subconscious? Well, you can. It's the fact that it's what you really want and it's the training of your heart. What does it say in Romans 12:2? Be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can judge what is good, pleasing, and perfect. It's this longing within that I don't have to think, oh yeah, that's what I am. That's what I am. It's this longing within for a desire for God and his kingdom to be within us. I think about it. I ache about it. I want it. I want God to be a part of my life. Yes, he may have given me a career in other things and jobs in other things and responsibilities in family and friends and in society. It's a deep process of drawing from what you might call living water that can well up within us. And it's in that living water where Jesus dwells. Have a look with me at John chapter 4, verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. On the screen, everybody, you can look. John, on page 812, if you've got one of our Bibles here, John chapter 4, verse 7. And it says this, John chapter 4. And this is Jesus sitting in Samaria at the well, at Jacob's well. A Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, verse 7, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking, is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. She didn't get it. He's not talking about water. He's talking about the Spirit of God, a living water that feeds the soul deep within. Verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of the water, of this water from the well, will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus is talking about something other than just like water. He's talking about something that transforms us, that lives within us. Something that's within us, that's deeper. So this dwelling, this living water, expresses itself at the conscious level. At the conscious level, by coming to the realization that we actually are nothing without God. That we're nothing without God. We can't be all that we can even be without God. The person who's living an apparent successful life without God is not all that they can be. Is not all they can be. It's therefore a complete giving over of our lives to God. It's this, to abide means to complete and utterly surrender at the conscious and the subconscious level. It is saying to God, here am I, take me totally and consume me. Abiding leads us to accept that our life must be lived in ways that causes us and draws us to intimate relationship. To abide means that we enter into an intimate relationship with God. and to shun activities that pacify or placate the flesh. See, a lot of us do things that are very fleshy because they feel good, or we get ourselves into activities, etc., and we do stuff for us. And in a sense, that's okay. But sometimes those things we do for us, we put in the place of God in us. But to abide is this such a deep surrender. It's like, I don't need those things in order to be complete within myself, to be complete within myself. And this giving of our lives, here's the interesting thing, giving our lives, it doesn't come from effort. It doesn't come from study. And it doesn't come from striving. This abiding in God, this giving of our lives to God, it doesn't come from those things, but rather through what's called the prevalence of prayer in our life. And prevalence is an interesting word, isn't it? Prevalence. In other words, the amount, the way of prayer, the way we surrender, the way we go deeper into God is through prayer. And it's the seeking of living holy, because prayer will take us to that place. It's this surrender, this abiding comes through prayer. Now, if you happen to be a person who's got many, many, many hours a day that you can devote to prayer, fantastic. But the reality is the most of us don't, because we, you know, you have certain hours, you've got to be at work, you've got family, you've got kids, you've got sport, you've got all these other things you've got to do. So how can you have prevalence of prayer, an amount of prayer, a quantity of prayer that would cause you to go beyond just commitment of turning up to this complete subconscious surrender of our will, where we'd be able to say, I abide in his presence. He's here. And what it is to live a life of prayer where there's the consistency all through the day of this prayer in our life, that throughout the day and through the moments of the day that we pray. It's honest prayer. It's different than just saying prayers. It's different than just saying prayers because it's where conversion happens, and it expresses itself in an inner desire for God, and an inner desire for God, and you can't fake it, and you can't manufacture it, and you can't calculate it. You can't calculate it, and you certainly can't fake it. It's this conversion within us, and it's this constant expression of saying before God, your will not mine, your will not mine, your will not mine. Your will not done, that I must decrease in order that you must increase. It's heavy, isn't it? This whole thing is heavy. But the reality is, the reason most people stay at a place of non-depth, of not depth, is because they stay at that place if it's about my effort. And to abide means to drop down to that place of, Lord, I give you to you, or myself to you. Because for years I used to think it's about committing my life to Jesus and saying, Jesus, be the Lord and the Saviour of my life. Lord Jesus, I want to belong to you from now on. I ask forgiveness for all the sins of my life. I ask you to be at the centre of my life. Lord, I give my life to you. I used to think that's what it was. That's just commitment. To abide is the deeper surrender of our life to a place where we sit there and we go, imagine being in a community like that where you walked in, where people were abiding. Imagine the power of prayer in that place. Imagine the healing in that place. Imagine the revelation of God's word in that place. Now, some of us go, I've never experienced anything like that. But imagine if we could be that place. Imagine if we could go to that deeper place. It leads us. What happens is when we abide, it takes a while to get an understanding, but when we abide, we begin to live this 24/7 life of an awareness of God as central to everything all of the time. And so therefore church attendance is in a sense one part of a life that's consumed by God.
Did you like this message? You can help Bruce get this message of inspiration and hope around the world by calling this number on the screen or by writing to this address and making your tax-deductible contribution. Bruce seeks to help people apply the message of Jesus in a practical way to their everyday life and to personally know the love of the Father. Partner with Bruce today. Simply call this number, go to our website, or write to the address on your screen and help people all over the world chase their dreams and live lives of power, impact, freedom, and purpose.
I meet so many people when I travel, speaking in churches and other venues, who ask questions like, how do I pray? How do I talk to God? How do I listen to God? How do I get direction for my life from God? Well, these were all questions that I once asked because I didn't know how to pray either. Well, I would like to share with you my book, Personal Prayer, which is the way that I was taught to pray, and it's changed my life.
Change your life through personal prayer. Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, will provide you with practical steps to help you develop a relationship with God that will change your entire life. As Bruce says, prayer is talking to God and listening to God, who wants to be a part of our everyday life. We will send you a copy of Personal Prayer by Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy. Call us on 855-465-5161 or visit us at brucedownsthecatholicguy.com.
If you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go right now, I want you to know that God invites us into a relationship with Him where we are called to abide. That's not church attending. That's a place of deep, deep inner surrender to God where we become conscious of Him all of the time. Well, that's it. We'll see you next time. And remember, don't forget, here from the Catholic Guy Impact community, that God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au.